and every word in the Bible significant. And so Jesus has purpose in every step that he takes. And he's in his last week, and he's moving towards Jerusalem, which is moving towards the cross. And he sets his face like flint towards the cross. And this story is called this harmony. When you go to Bible college, you get this book. When they used to give out textbooks, that's how old I am, in college. And the harmony of the Gospels. Interesting, the story is in all four Gospels, so it's just like harmony. It's like four people, three people with me, and we see this event happens. We see this dog chasing a cat across the church parking lot. Well, one of us is going to say, that dog almost got that cat. The second one is going to say, he almost, you know, if that cat wouldn't have turned this way, that dog would have had him. But we all are going to get different perspectives on what we see the event. So were the gospel writers. Matthew saw it one way, Luke saw it another way, John saw it another way, and Mark saw it another way, which was Peter and so forth. So the harmony is kind of like that a cappella band. You know, the harmony, some are bass, right? Some are altos, some are sopranos. And so when they come together, they sound beautiful, right? Harmony, harmony. Like, who loves you, pretty baby? You know, that some Frankie Valli, right? How many are glad I'm not on the worship team? But then that one would think, who loves you, pretty baby? That's Frankie Valli, right? So, but when they all come together, boom, boom, you know, they all make that aca ugly sound like I'm making no aca good sound, right? It's aca awkward up here, right? What did that dude do? Amen. So God uses donkeys, and our story tells about it. And why did God use a donkey to enter Jerusalem? He did it not only to fulfill prophecy, because it spoke about that prophetic man, but he did it so you and I would have hope. He said, well, God could never use me. Or my life really couldn't be used by God. There's significance in the story because we learn lessons from this donkey that God can even use us. He can use a person like me. And if he can use a person like me, he can use all of us in this room. Right, everybody? Amen. So the miracle of life and the miracle series is this, that God uses you to bring a miracle to somebody else. Amen. You're a miracle in this house. Yes. Because the miracle that happened to you can now be expressed. God touches you so you can express that touch to somebody else. Amen. You're somebody's hope today, right, everybody? Jesus. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but that's all right today, amen. The miracle of the donkey. One of my favorite movies is Shrek. How about you? You know, that ogre has that big heart, man. He's ugly, but he has. But one of the best characters in the Shrek thing is that donkey. He's wisecracking, right? He's always saying something. He has the best lines. Remember in Shrek 1 when he thought he was dying? He said, I'm dying, I'm dying. You know, and he thought he was dying. He says, I'm dying, I'm dying. Oh, no, I'm dying. He says, I can't even feel my feet. I can't feel my feet. And he looks down. He says, and he realizes he doesn't have any feet. He said, I don't have any feet. He has hoofs. Oh, you'll get that at 3 in the morning, some of you. I don't have any toes. That's what. And so, you know, they went on and they made Shrek 18 like Rocky 18, right? They have all these Shreks now. In Luke chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus, the Luke passage of the harmony of the Gospels says this. It's on the big screen, or you can look at it on your device or in your Bible. It says this. Jesus had said this, and he went ahead of them. And he went up to Jerusalem, and as he was approaching Bethpage and Bethany, there was a hill called the Mount of Olives. And so that Mount of Olives, he's able to overlook the city and see the Jerusalem, see all the houses and the businesses. And he's looking down on the city. And he sent his two disciples and he said, go into the village ahead of you. And as soon as you get there, you'll find a donkey tied up. Somebody say tied up. Tied up. I think that's very important. And he says, no one else has ever ridden him, which is really symbolic on giving God really your best, the first. Don't give them sloppy seconds. God's not about that. So the very first fruits there. Untie it and bring it here. And I'm so thankful for all the details that Jesus gave the disciples because Jesus was about details. He saw it way ahead of time. Verse 31 says this. Someone may ask you, why are you untying it? And if so, say the Lord needs it. Somebody say the Lord needs it.
The Lord needs it.
And those who sent ahead of you, they found the donkey and it was just as Jesus told them. They were untying the donkey, and the owner came up, and the owner said, why are you untying the donkey? And it's just like kind of somebody jumping into your car, and you say, hey, are you carjacking me? because I'm going to call 911. Or what are you doing in my car, dude? Get out, right? They were taking the car. That's not, I know, not funny, but, you know, they were, and they replied, look, the Lord needs it. And so they let him take the car. Would that be that easy with you? No, it wouldn't probably. So Jesus knew this guy probably, right, everybody? Yes. Trying to wrap your mind around it and your heart around it. And then Jesus, his disciples brought the colt to him. And they threw their coats on the young donkey and put Jesus on it. And they went along and they spread their coats on the road. And they brought to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives. They also said in other interpretations, I think in John and Matthew, they said that palm branches, and that's when we get Palm Sunday. That's significant today. The palm branches were on the ground. And the whole crowd of disciples began to praise God with joy. They were the cheerleaders. And with a loud voice, they began to praise him. See, the Jewish people had been under such oppression and such bondage, and they saw their deliverer coming. They saw all the miracles that Jesus did, the feeding of the 5,000, how he touched blind eyes and they were open, the deaf ears were open, the demonic people were set free. And they said, our deliverer is coming. If he did that, he'll set us free from the Roman Empire, or the Roman oppression, the taxes and the oppression that we're facing as a people. Here comes our king, here comes our king. And what they didn't know, he was going to set them free, but not that way, through a government, through an uprising. No, not that way. It was going to be done because he was going to set them free in their heart. He was going to give them salvation, right? Amen. And he goes on to say, he says, the disciples, the crowd began to praise God. Loud voices, they began to pray. They began to praise him for all the miracles they had seen. They shouted, look what they shouted, verse 38. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the
Lord.
Yeah, and may there be peace and glory in the highest heaven today. The triumphant entry was triumphant because Jesus, again, went in Jerusalem to die. He was going to see the cross at the end of that road. And a whole week would take place. On Sunday, they all cheered him, right? Yeah, they were all cheering. On Monday, there was a cleansing of the temple. He made that whip and cleared them all out. They were having like Traitor's Village, right? In the house of God. And then the Tuesday, they had this controversy, had this drama. These guys were always coming against them, these Jewish leaders. On Wednesday, maybe it was a day of rest. On Thursday, he prepared for Passover. And he went into an upper room, a borrowed upper room, and with his disciples, he instituted communion, which we still do today. On Friday, there was a trial and the crucifixion of Jesus. It was a good Friday for us, but it was his worst Friday. It was a bad Friday for Jesus, right? Aren't you glad that he had a bad day so he could make it a good day? Amen. For us, right, everybody? Saturday, Jesus is in the tomb. Rest, at peace, yeah, R.I.P., rip, Jesus, yeah. And then finally, on that Saturday, amen, something begins to rumble. On a Sunday, he rises from the dead, right? And our Savior resurrected today. And a full week takes place, but he stays in that proximity of Jerusalem today. I believe the Bible's true, and I know you're at church this morning. And I know there's critics probably on the outside that are saying, you know, the Bible's not true. It's filled with legend, fables, or just hand-me-down stories. I believe if this is the way it happened with that colt, that's the way it happened. I believe every word in the Bible's true. How about you? I still believe the Bible. How about you? It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's not a hand-me-down thing. Thank God the Bible's truth today. There's some players in our story. Jesus was this man, again, that was fully committed to his passion. His passion was the cross. He was going to the cross. The crowd, they went from cheers to jeers. Let crucify him. On Sunday, they were saying, hey, King of the Jews, amen, all right, all right, all right. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He who comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of David. But that same Sunday, the following Friday, they were yelling out, kill him, crucify him, right? How fickle they were. And then the disciples were in the audience also. And they were followers of Christ, just like you are here at Living Faith Church. They had a lesson to learn. They didn't know how significant it would be to use an ordinary donkey that Jesus might carry in the message of redemption to the people of that time today. And so the disciples of that time are learning. If you're a disciple here, then you have a lesson to learn, just like we all do in this room right today. Each life in this room, a story is being written about your life. Yeah, everybody, the pages are filled, some with drama, most of us. Some have conflict. Every one of us has had that in our lives. But some have hope too, right? Amen. And so God has this book that he can write. And it doesn't need to be an autobiography. An autobiography is you writing about you. Let me tell my story. Tom Cruise is going to play me one day. You know, you're going to, this person, you know, and they're going to play me, and you're a legend before you know it, right? Or you can have a biography, and that's somebody else studying your life. That's somebody else knowing you. Not as well as you, but God does know you better. And God writes the biography if you let him have the pen. Don't take it away from God today. Let him rewrite your story. It'll be a story of hope. It'll be a story of beauty. It'll be a story of redemption. But let God rewrite the story. Amen. Get it in the right author's hands today. The first principle, lessons from a donkey on how God can use the miracle in the house today is you. Your story has been written. 550 years before the donkey even arrived to that post cult, there was this Zechariah prophet that had saw it. He saw the foreshadowing, and he says, this is how it's going to go down. And I'm so thankful for prophetic Bible and the Bible being full of prophecy and the Bible foretelling even my future. See, the Bible is filled like a prophet, man. They're kind of, look at that guy. He's kind of weird looking because he's a prophet, or, you know, he never takes a shower or something. Like, you know, you don't want to meet a prophet like that, right, everybody? That prophet came, and what I notice about prophecy in the Old Testament, it can be good if we obey God, if we do what God's telling us. But if we don't do what God's telling us, then there's going to be a reckoning. And I want to do what God's telling me this Sunday morning. How about you? Amen. And it's good news for me, just like it was for the people. 550 years before, Zechariah says this in Zechariah 9:9 on the big screen in your handout. City of Zion, be full of joy. People of Jerusalem, shout. Yeah, there it is. See, your king comes to you. And he always knows what is right. And he has won the victory. He is humble, and he is riding on a donkey. How many know if Jesus would have rode a white stallion, it would have been war, but Jesus rode a donkey, and he's sitting on the donkey. Jesus fulfills that prophecy. There's prophecy about you, beloved, but you got to fulfill it too. Now, God says good things about you in his word, but you got to do God's will. You got to be obedient to what God's called you to do. You got to be about God and what God has and what God is calling you to do this season. I'm going to give you some practical things to do. Your story has been written. The love of God in your life, it's a love story. So it's full of blessing. It's full of wholeness. It's full of healing. It's full of legacy for the next generation because you live for God. Amen. He rode on a colt that had never been ridden before. You know, I think if it would have been me, because y'all know how I roll, right? I would have got a Clydesdale. A white Clydesdale, right? That big old horse. I would have got on that horse. I'm the king of kings, man. I'm riding on that horse. Boom, 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 boom. Coming in, baby. I'm coming in. Here comes the king. Here comes the king. Here comes the big number one. Boom, 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 boom. Now, that's a different song. Amen. I got to think of that. Jesus rode in on a donkey because he says, I come in peace. I'm not coming in like Mario. Amen. Jesus borrowed stuff. How many of y'all have, you're like Jesus, you like to borrow stuff? No shame to your game, right? You still have it in your garage, what you borrowed from your neighbor. I opened up my garage and said, hey, I got to give that back. And there's someone in our household that likes to borrow my stuff. I'm not going to tell you who they are because I won't. By the way, my wife is in Brownsville, so you guys don't think, hey, what happened to Mario? Did he have a fight? Amen. Is Irma here? No, she's helping her mom in Brownsville. She'll be back tonight. Pray for me, amen. Because I miss her, amen, and she needs to be back. She's just helping her mom, and that's a blessing that's needed in this season today. Jesus, she's borrowing my wife. Is that okay, my mother-in-law? Yeah, Jesus borrowed, he borrowed his birth crib, didn't he? He borrowed his birth crib, right, everybody? Jesus borrowed a boat to preach on. Jesus borrowed a Happy Meal lunch from that little boy, right? So that little boy borrowed and it could multiply. Jesus borrowed an upper room so his disciples could have communion with him. It was all borrowed by Jesus, right? Amen. He borrowed a tomb. He says, it's okay, I'm only going to need it for 3 days. Yeah, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, but that's okay, right? Yeah, Jesus, how about if he borrowed your life? If he borrowed you, so you could carry in his message. So your story would be that person served God and they served their generation and they served people. They weren't maybe a preacher, but their light shone to us and their light was shining so much that I have Jesus in my heart today, right? You know, Billy Graham's epitaph, you know what it says on his tombstone? It says one word. And it's not all the crusades that he held. He's the number one Christian that ever lived, probably, besides the Apostle Paul. You know what his message was? His message was, all it says is preacher. And yes, he was a preacher, right? He was the prince of preachers. But what about your epitaph? What will it say? What will be as it's written about your life today? God can rewrite something in your life if it's not something that it should be right now, today. Everyone, as God touches you in this room, do you know what he does as a redemptive God? He wants to redeem people through your lives. He touches you so you can touch other people, so you can love other people. See, your BFF, they want to know the love of God, but how can they know if they never hear from you? How can your Facebook friends ever know about Jesus if you never tell them about Jesus? How can they know if there's not a preacher sent? You need to announce the good news. The classmates that you have, young people in this room, the co-workers, they need to know that Jesus is alive, but they can only know through you. God's not going to send Billy Graham. He's sending you. Amen? Amen? Well, Pastor, you need to come to my workplace and you need to invite them. No, they're going to say he's doing his job. But if you do it, they're going to say, man, that guy, he's the real McCoy. He's the real deal, man. He lives his faith, right, everybody? The devil's deception is all about this, that he will deceive people into thinking their future is bleak, their future's gone, or I have their future. And God comes and he redeems people because he prophesies over them. This coming week, on Good Friday, we'll go into the Marbach Manor Apartments. I've been announcing this to you for weeks now. And what we'll do is we'll have an egg hunt, because children are attracted that way and so are families. And we'll give them the gospel. A lady came and one of our children's workers and said, Pastor, I'd like to do an arts and crafts. Well, I'm all about that. He says, can I take it to Marbach Road? And we'll Marbach Manor Apartments. And we'll put some tables there and the children can have the cross and the resurrection in a cave that where they're going to put together. It's going to be awesome for the children there. It's going to be a blessing to them. We're going to have free food. We're going to give out free things to them. We're going to love all, the kindness of Jesus is going to be there for the people today. Our photogs are, come on up and help me with this. This is Leonard. Give him a big hand. He's going to come right here. I said, you know what we can do for the people? And they thought it was amen. I said, can you help me with this? Can we do those frames where we can hold it and all the people at Marbach Road Manor Apartments can get in it and click it like that and go, you know, yeah, and do this. And I'll end up on that. Okay, good. And what they did, they got an ordinary frame from a thrift store, and they rehabbed it, and they put all this stuff on it and made it something beautiful. Can you imagine all the people at Marbach Manor that are going to come and put their face and take that with their children? What a beautiful day that will be for them. Amen. As we welcome, there should be some excitement about what God will do. Give him a big hand. He did great. Leonard, thank you for helping me with that. He's a blessing to us today. Yeah. Amen. And so Jeremiah on the big screen is what God is saying to us and God is saying to our hour right now as we serve him. And we go big today. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a... Somebody say, this is my story. This is my story. Yeah. Amen, it is. We've had some ups and downs, all of us. We have some battle scars in this room. But I love that the feeling of this is when Jeremiah told the people of Israel that were under oppression and captivity, he said, you know what, it's going to end up good. It's going to end up okay for you. And I don't know how you began, where you're at, but it's in God's hands. How can not end up good right now? Amen. Amen. You may be going through the trial of your life, but in God's hands, you're preordained to do something good and to be a blessing for people. Right, everybody? Amen. God is reaching me so he can work through me today. He's touching my life so I can touch. You need to get real practical with this. How can I do this, Pastor? You're asking. How can I do this? You can do it for God's story by, you can do prayer. Somebody say pray. prayer has this way. You can show me the next slide. Amen. You can do this thing that prayer has this way of preparing a heart. It prepares hearts when you pray, right? You ever notice when you pray because you're in conflict, how you really, when you really go to prayer, not Lord, kill them because they're hurting my feelings, but you say, Lord, just, Lord, I bring it before you. I have nothing else, God. Do you know what God does? He prepares you. He prepares your heart. You're going, it's not about me. God, have mercy on me. God, help me. You begin to take your eyes off yourself and you put them on that individual, and God just shows up this way. And it prepares them. It will prepare. It prepares the people of Marbach Manor as you pray. So this week, would you pray? Yes. Would you pray for the service on Resurrection Sunday? Would you pray for our musicians, our worship team? Would you pray for them? Would you pray for the message? Would you pray for the outreach? Would you pray for the people, amen, that are coming, amen? Amen. Each of us in this room have a life story. Not one heart doesn't in this room today. And it's written every day. The pages are filled with drama, conflict, and hope. And it, you may not be able to edit the page, but you know what you get? And it leads me to my second point. You get this. You get to have a new day. You get to have a new beginning, a fresh page every day that you're alive, right? And so the second thought is this. Your story is being written. Thank God. Amen. Amen. I get a do-over. Amen. Why would God use a donkey in the practical sense? Because, you know, donkeys were the beast of burden at that time. And there were about 1 million people that had converged onto Jerusalem in that city, theological writers tell us. And so people were like, kind of like, you know, at the mall all during Christmas time, they couldn't walk. And so Jesus needed a vehicle, and he didn't have a Dodge Charger, right? It wasn't invented. So he used this donkey so he could get above the people. And so the donkey would make him rise above. He didn't want a camel. He didn't want a white stallion. That would have sent a different message. But if I ride a donkey, I can get higher than the people. And they can see me as their redeemer, but I can also see them. And he wanted to see their faces. I love Jesus that he didn't make the donkey into something that it wasn't, never was. He didn't put a tutu on the donkey. He didn't put, you know, jet packs on the donkey so the donkey could fly around. He used the donkey, his character. The donkey was created to have somebody ride him. And God will use you that same way, like you're meant to be. He's not going to make you into a Billy Graham if you're not a Billy Graham. He's not going to make you into a musician if you're not a musician. You're going to be you, but God will use you. Aren't you glad you don't have to be somebody else? You can be just good old you. Amen. The distinctive donkey was available. And the enemy will bombard us and say, you could never do that. Release those fears to God, beloved. Release the fears to God, because God can use you today. But you need to just say, yes, Lord. Here I am. Send me, Lord. I'll do what you're calling me to do today. God is always outreach minded. I've been in life just like you, where I've had waiting periods. I'm waiting on God. God has a season of waiting. Some of you had to wait for your spouse. Remember that? Yeah, we had to wait. We had to wait. Remember, you had to wait maybe for your ministry. But some of us have this way. Well, I'm going to wait on God and I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to be inactive. No, God still wants you to be the waiter that you're meant to be. Can I fill that tea up for you, ma'am? Is that toast? Can I bring you some new tortillas? Are they run out? Be the good waiter that you need. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Do something for Jesus. Keep waiting. Amen. There's not an activity in a good waiter. You're active, right? Amen. You do what God's called you to do, right? Thank God for redemption. Well, you don't know my life. Who would ever want to use me? God does do-overs. God's a God of second chances. God is a redemptive God. Amen. Somebody shout and say amen. Yeah, amen, yeah, amen. Right where you're at, God will use you. The prophet Isaiah. God was all over Isaiah. He had this visitation like there never was, man. In Isaiah 6:8, then I heard a loud voice, and the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And at that moment, the fire of God was on this man. Because remember the touch my lips with the coal, God. And at that moment, God was all over him. You ever been in that moment where God's just downloading into you and blessing you and God, if you can, and that's at that moment. And then he said, here I am, Lord. Send me, Lord. And God wants to use you that same way in His presence. You come out of His presence, and God is saying, I'll go, God. I'll do what You've told me to do. Send me, Lord. I just want a little bit. It's such a privilege to be used by God. Amen. Such an honor to be used by God. God, if I get just a little bit of the story. Some of us think of that major motion picture, and I'm going to be the movie star about my story. I'm going to be the starring role. I'm going to be Michael Corleone. I'm going to be Al Pacino in The Godfather. I want that role. And God's seen this epic thing going on, and you think you're this, and all we are in God and all of eternity from Noah, Moses, all these people that are in the, it's a vapor. Your life is like that. It's a mist, the Bible says. It's just, it goes by that quickly. And so all you are in The Godfather is just the extra. You're the guy walking by as they shot Vito Corleone. That was my part. That's what part you got. You don't like me now, do you? Amen. You can tell what movie I like, right? You just, all we have is this, but we get a little part in God's story. Amen. Amen. You know who the movie star is? It's not you, it's Jesus. Amen. Shine, Jesus, shine. Amen. Amen. He wins the Academy Award, but we get a bit part in the story. Amen. Make the most of it today. Amen. Why don't you just kind of, they have to do, hey, take two, because the guy kind of waved. Amen. You're just supposed to stand there. Amen. They keep messing up because you want a little bit better part, right, everybody? Jesus, was in the New Testament, He said, hey, pray, because we got so much labor to do. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field, right? Send them, Lord. And who are those laborers? God is your somebody's answer today. Amen. Get practical with God's story. Somebody shout invite. All of us can have something in our hand in these mini invitations. I call them mini preachers because they'll be left behind. You invite somebody. I get excited about printing. I don't know about you. I've always been this guy that loves printing because of what I've done. And so these Rise invitations, they're on gloss stock. Four color, 4x4, cut 3x5.5. Man, they're beautiful. And these invitations will preach, right? They're be redemptive. Invest into people this week. Invite them. Just don't throw them everywhere. Hey, everybody, come. And you're handing them out, put them on windshields. I don't really want that. Neither does Jesus. He wants you to be strategic, and He wants you to hand these to that person that you've been praying for. You pray, you invite, you celebrate, and then you invite them with this. Amen. Make an investment to people. Where can Jesus see people more clearly, more visible? And use you as that donkey where He rises. This is more visible. You leave this behind. Right, everybody? Amen? Amen. Each of us have a life story, and it's being written every day. The pages are filled with drama, conflict, and hope. And you may not be able to edit the pages, but every new page is an opportunity. Let God rewrite your story. God can do it today. I have this big imagination. And, you know, I think of the donkey. He has this big head. You know, maybe that donkey's like me. You know, when I walk into Walmart, man, people always ask me. I can be wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I walk into Walmart, and they go, hey, you have a big head. You must know what's going on. Where do I find this in the Walmart? This big head I got. You know, it's like a donkey. Donkeys had a big nose, big ears. Nobody say amen. Donkeys had a donkey smell. Nobody say amen about Pastor Mark. Donkeys were ordinary. You can say amen. Yeah. They were just, and so every day that donkey would come from its pen and it would get tied up to that same post and it would just be bound there. And it was hot, the sun would come down. That donkey would probably see other donkeys riding by. Their masters would be riding it, kids would be riding by. Giddy up, and kids ride by. I wish one kid would, you know, hit me with a switch so I could go, but I'm bound here. I'm ordinary. Is this my end? Is this the way I'm going to? No one's ever going to think I'm not significant because that donkey was just bound there day after day. Nothing ordinary. But one day, something changed. One morning, they hooked him up again, and here come two men, two strange men that he's never seen. And the donkey, you know, he's on a horn. He's listening. What are they going to say? And he's saying, they start untying him. Hey, where are these guys taking me? He's probably thinking. Hey. And the master comes out and he, you know, puts down his tortilla. He was eating huevos rancheros that morning. He goes, hey, where are you taking my boy? He says, the master has need. The donkey said, "The master, am I going to get to plow a field now? Am I going to get to do some farming? Am I going to get to carry a cart and take a cart?" And they take him, and they take him, and he's taken away, and he gets to the end of his journey, and he sees this rabbi. And the rabbi is waiting for him. They put coats on him, and Jesus mounts him and gets on top. And he begins to go through a crowd, and the crowd, they're laying coats down, and they're laying palm leaves down. And the donkey's riding on top of those and trampling down on those. And nobody's yelling at him, "Stupid donkey, get off those coats. It's okay." You know what? They're not saying "stupid donkey." They're saying, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Son of David, may peace come to us." They're saying all these words, and they're saying, "Are they saying that about me? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord?" The donkey gets made a little bit mistaken. No, they're saying it about the one that he's carrying today. And all we are is that carrier of Jesus into people that need redemption, just like you and I, right, everybody? And I'm so glad that the donkey had ears, right, to hear that message, because it wasn't about him, it was about his Savior. Amen. The beast of burden, Jesus had the sin of the world that he was carrying on his shoulders already because he was getting ready for the cross. And that beast of burden was carrying Jesus today. You might be in this room today because you might have to alleviate somebody's burden. You're to do that biblically. Carry each other's burdens, right, as Christ carries ours today. And maybe you're a listening ear. You're helping somebody today. The final thought is this. Your story will be written. Your story will be written. It's too good to be true. When you put it into God's hands, you'll look at life and you'll say, "Man, this is how good God's been to me." You know, when somebody asks me, "How you doing?" You know what I always tell them? If I was any better, I'd be a twin. And I know that's kind of weird. But that's how much God has blessed us. Even during our worst days, God's still been good to us. Amen. How will your life end? They're going to come back to the fellowship hall one day. Everybody's going to eat fried chicken and potato salad or brisket or whatever. And they're going to come back after we bury and we come back to the fellowship hall. You know, they say that thing about, I don't do it because I'm not mean. I'm not that mean little pastor, that mean little preacher. Joe Alvarez used to tell me, "You that mean little pat, don't be that mean little pastor." I remember he'd make me laugh when he would tell me that. And I don't want to be that mean, you know, that mean pastor would tell you, "I don't want to lie at your funeral. So be good. Do what God's telling you to do." You can't say anything wrong at somebody's funeral. "This guy was wicked. He was a loser. He did all this. He ran." But why not write the real story? Why not write God's story? Let God write your story. Amen. Where we don't have to lie at your funeral, right? Amen. We can say all the redemptive things that you do. "You don't know my past." Well, yeah. Everyone has a past. Join the crowd. God is a redeemer today. In the book of Revelation, John the Revelator, I put the message translation up here. This is what he saw about your life being written. It will be written because it's in the future tense. "And I heard the voice of thunder from the throne. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home into men and women." Just like the people of Living Faith, God's making his home in your heart today. "There is people, and he is their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death is gone for good. The tears are gone." Aren't you going to have such a great reunion? I can only imagine, right, what it will be like. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. The first order of things are gone. The enthroned continues. "Look, I'm making everything new." And I think at this point, right at that very last sentence, John was just blown away, because we're looking at his words on a screen or on a page or on a. And John was 4D. He was experiencing all lightning, thunder. Jesus showed up big time and was telling him all this. And John was trying to write everything down. But at this point, John just freezes. And then Jesus has to finish and say, "Write it all down, because each word is dependable and accurate." Okay, I got to get this thing done. He was astonished, because there'd be no more fear. There'd be no more tears, no more hurt and pain. And it's a message of Christ for your life today. As much as you've been through today, the story of your life will be written, and it leads to a good end if it's in God's hand today. Carry the gospel news with you today. You have good news to tell everyone in this room today, and God will use you. God has a purpose for your life, right, everybody? Christ didn't desperately need that donkey. He could have found somebody else, but that donkey was available. Jesus can use anybody. If I'm not up here preaching, there'll be somebody up here preaching. But I'm meant to do this, just like our worship team is meant to worship. And you're meant to serve the way you're supposed to meant to serve. God's not desperate for any of us, but he'll use you and your uniqueness and your story like he can use nobody else. And things just go better when you're used by God. What a tremendous privilege it is to be used by God. Amen. And to come to church on a Sunday morning at Living Faith Church. Amen. In Luke chapter 15, I saved the best for last, right, everybody? It's finally going to be over. You're going to be able to celebrate one day. Amen. Church is over. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read this together on three. Everybody ready? One, two, three, go. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. For this son of mine was dead and he was lost. Brian Houston of the Hillsong Church has his church and within his DNA, and you're much like it too. But they said every time that somebody new comes to the church or somebody walks up to the church, they want to welcome them just like Jesus is walking up. Because they take that scripture, when you've done it unto the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. When we've done it unto the least of my brethren at the Marbach Manor Apartments, you've done it unto me. When you've done it unto the child that we teach on Sunday morning, our young people that we reach here, you've done it unto Jesus. And so on Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, that the world celebrates Easter, I want us to celebrate. Real practical, how can you get God's touch on your life today? The final fill in the blank is this one. Here it goes. Celebrate. Somebody shout celebrate. Yeah. Celebrate. There's an excitement that God is good. God is good. Amen. You used to say all the time, but I don't know what happened to you. The Presbyterians got in here and messed us all up. And all the time. Let's walk in here next Sunday morning and sing like we've never sung. Roger asked you to sing that song out loud, not out soft. Remember that? Amen. Well, this coming, let's sing out of our minds, man. Let's sing to our King. Because he's proved that death can't hold them back. Amen. And they'll see you, all of our visitors, they'll get some baked goods, the kids will do the Easter egg hunt and all of it, but they'll look at you and they'll say, man, those people love Jesus. Amen. I can tell by the way they sing. I can tell by the way they say amen. I can tell by the way, and so we get this ready today, right? Remember when you said yes to Jesus? Remember that moment when you said yes to Christ? And someone else that you invite can say yes to Christ today. They can say yes to him because you've invited them today. Amen. It's awesome to be used by God today. I have this final slide that we've been saying for about 3 weeks now. And they're pray, invite, and celebrate. And so I want you to take at least four of these home with you today. And each of us can invite four people back that the glory of God would come. And not that we would be glorified. Look at all the people I brought. Look what God brought to the house today. And we would welcome them like we would welcome Jesus walking into the room. Right, everybody? Amen. And we say yes. I prepared just a media presentation that Daisy helped me with. And let's watch this about the invitation and the celebration that can take place about how Easter reaches people for Christ.
Going to be full. It's always full. And it'll be the same in your church, I promise. It'll be full. It'll be full of people like me, full of people who haven't been to church in a while, full of people who think they might be critiqued or analyzed or judged unfairly, full of people who don't have God in their lives and aren't exactly sure how to get Him back. But you know what? Before I step in, I need you. I need you to do something that's probably a big deal for you. You're going to see me this week, and I need you not to walk past me, and I need you to work through your fear, because I'm working through mine, and I just need you to invite me in. And if I act like I'm not interested in going to church with you, still, I need you to ask me to come. I need you to help me see God. I don't even know what that means. I need you more than you know. Because look, at the end of the day, God said He loved me enough to die for me. I mean, that is the claim, right? And if He died and He didn't stay dead, your church will be full this weekend. Your church could be full this weekend with people just like me. Different face, different skin color, different age, sex, or social status. But make no mistake, I could be sitting right next to you. I just need you to invite me in, that's all. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing complicated. Nothing driven by guilt. Just invite me in. I need you to. I really do.
Would our worship team come? Would we bow our heads right now and pray? Let's pray together. Why don't you do this? Put your hand over your heart. Over your heart, just center point. Everyone, Father, I pray that you touch my life, touch the people of Living Faith, Lord, as they touch their heart. Lord, touch my heart today. Use me this week, Lord. You make the same prayer in your heart, the whisper. Use me, my Heavenly Father. I surrender my life to you. Send me to people that are waiting for Jesus. Send me to people that are bound. They're bound up, Lord. They're at a post, tied. Send me to those people that are in their soul realm that way. Lord, you can borrow my life. Make it a prayer right now. Work through me, Lord. Holy Spirit, show me people that need to know you. And Father, I ask for the courage and strength to be the ones that carry you to the people that need you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity today, no one looking around, that you would receive Christ as your Savior. You're far away from God. You've never said yes to Jesus. If that's you in this place, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask that your hand is lifted slightly and you can say yes to Christ right there where you're at in your chair. I'll lead you in a prayer. If that's you today and you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're far away from God, you're not joining this church, you're asking Jesus to redeem your life right now. You're asking for a new beginning, a fresh start. Some of us know what that means right now. If that's you, would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me, remember me right now. I want to pray for you. If that's you, lift your hand so I can see it just to make sure. Is that you? Yes. God bless you. I saw your hand. Someone else? Yes. Some just making sure you're saying yes to the Lord. For one person, Jesus would stop and say, let's do this. So we do this together. All the sinners that are saved by grace, let's pray this prayer. And the one that lifted their hand, you pray it loud enough that you can hear it, okay? Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father. Come on, everybody. Heavenly Father, redeem my life. Save me, Lord. All that call upon the name of the Lord and I'm calling right now, shall be saved. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Jesus, I declare, you're my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right, everybody? In the name of Jesus. Come on, celebrate new life at Living Faith. Thank you, Jesus. There's a connection card in front of you if you have a prayer request or a